One, two, three, tiddly bee, 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 tiddly bee, bee, bee. A long time ago, way back in history, when all there was to drink was nothing but cups of tea, along came a man by the name of Charlie Mops. He invented a wonderful drink and he made it out of hops. He must have been an admiral, a sultan, or a king.
All right, and hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to this Brew Happy Radio Show. I'm your host, Damian Abizer, as the voice of beer. And with us, as always, is the amazing Ryan Fitzgerald on the soundboard. And bringing you lots of Fitz magic with his Fitz hits on Brew Happy Tunes playlist.
Guten Tag, mein Herr.
Yeah, it's always very evident when you're producing the show because the music lineup is very, very different.
Well, here's the other thing about when I sit behind the board is that instead of trying to focus on 11 things like you do, I just focus on like 5 things, but it's seamless. The transitions are not there because you as the host like to enjoy talking and drinking beer, and then you're like, oh, we got to take a break. My phone's not connected. Fuck, where's the music? Yeah, oh, yeah. Shit.
All my magic happens on the editing room floor later.
And then all the listeners hear is, well, I'll just edit this later.
Yeah.
And then they don't know that you did it, but you still did it, and they hear you say it, and it's great. But I'm happy to be here. You know who else is here?
We have John Paul, our friend and sponsor from Paul Cigars.
And it was truly a smoking week last week.
Oh, it was smoking.
Smoking week in the 80s. We're smoking now.
Did you enjoy your weekend?
Well, I worked the whole time.
But I mean, you got to see the sunshine. You got to enjoy a little bit during...
Yeah, through the window, sure.
Yeah.
I have a lot of glass at my stores.
You do. That's why it always gets a car in front of it.
Yes, oh, yeah. There we go.
Wow.
Hey, we're at a very fun location again this week.
We are. We're at one of our favorite breweries, kind of our home brew pub, Culmination Brewing, right here on Northeast 22nd in Oregon. If you haven't been here, you got to check this place out, especially if you plan on coming to Portland anytime soon. If you're already in Portland and you haven't been here...
Holy shit, you're late.
What are you doing with your life?
You can sit outdoors.
Yeah.
Comfortably... relaxed with beer.
And with a very fine patio space. Mm. Heated if you need it, but not this week because we are hot.
It's toasty.
We are already hot.
Yeah, it was only like a high of like 73 or 4 today, and there was a big breeze, so it was a much cooler day.
Yeah, well lit and spacious, and we even have I actually got to
grill today.
Oh, you did?
I did barbecue, sweet barbecue chicken and corn on the grill. And we had baked beans and pasta salad. That was what I had literally before I came in here.
Well, I'm glad you're at the other end of the table since you had beans. Because that is the musical fruit, and that's the kind of tunes we don't need on the Brew Happy Show.
Speaking of good tunes, it always is good to hear the tunes from Mr. Tomas Slider when he picks up a guitar.
Our special guest, yes. The owner and head brewer of this fine establishment. Hey, Tomas.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, buddy.
You need a catchphrase now. I feel like all of the people who are regulars on the show have a catchphrase. You're the only one who doesn't have a catchphrase.
How about just sup?
Sup.
I mean, that's all right. That's okay.
That works.
That's okay.
That works. Yeah.
So, John, what are these snacks? You always bring snacks.
Yeah, he did.
They're like the chaperone on a field trip, except instead of milk, there's whiskey.
Well, this whiskey is my favorite candy bar called Crunchy. It's Seafoam.
This is amazing.
Chocolate, and I get those all the time when I'm over there. And
this is overseas candy.
The beauty of Amazon is you can get anything here. It's unbelievable.
Crunchy. Well, it's
certainly so that
crunchy.
Comes from London, and of course the Walkers come from Scotland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shortbread. Shortbread. You actually should eat that. It'll go great with pretty much any beer or LaCroix that you have on the table.
Yeah. Excusing all the crunchy wrapper stuff in the background, but
it's good. It's a wafery.
Dear listeners out there. The Walkers are the shortbread. Highlander shortbread little cakes
made in Aberlour, Scotland.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I stayed like about 100 yards away from them.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you
must've... little Airbnb.
So you just like came back with a whole suitcase full of them?
No, it was during COVID. They weren't open. Damn it. I just stared through the fence and I went, That's the factory store I want to go to.
Did you give him
the sad dog? I can smell the butter.
When is the last time you got to travel? I mean, you were quite the world traveler pre-COVID.
About this time last year?
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day. I got the last plane back, March 22nd.
Yeah. Did you do the sad dog face in the window of all the places that you didn't get to go?
Well, I did go to the parking lots and take pictures.
Yeah, well, there you
go. And I did look in windows.
Yeah.
And I did walk around where I'm probably not supposed to walk around, but because there's no one there.
Ah.
So, and I got to visit more because then you just go on to the next one.
Okay. And then we have a crunchy, which is a golden honeycomb wrapped in Cadbury milk chocolate.
Now, this thing is really good. But you can actually, there's a lot of fun subscription box services that you can buy, and it'll bring you candies and treats from around the world. And I believe the Great Britain one has this in it as well as a couple other sweeties as well. But the chocolate-covered shortbread is really good.
Yes, I get
those
too.
Or chocolate-dipped shortbread.
A couple different things. When's the last time you guys had a classic Hershey bar?
Actually, that's funny that you say that. I literally just finished what was left from August that was in my, because we had s'mores over the last summer.
That'd be how the only time you would have a Hershey.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? As a brewer, I was watching that Netflix Foods That Made America. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, and Hershey's was one of them.
Yeah, and what interested me in the Hershey's one is that they add butyric acid, which is a bad no-no off flavor when beer making, and some people will get that in their sours if they're not doing their sours right.
Yeah.
And it came from the fact that they wanted to use wet, fresh cow milk versus the dried milk.
Right.
So a lot of people in Europe, I Googled Hershey's after I saw that. A lot of people in Europe hate American chocolate because of that little bit of the funk that's in there.
Well, and
it does taste different. I agree. American does taste different.
American chocolate is also very much sweeter because of that same thing, too. It's chocolate.
Maybe to hide the...
Right. So it's a little more sweeter where classically, and that's the same thing too with American licorice, is so much different than Swedish licorice. We do a lot of weird things to candy to make it more appealing to people. And then, because I've had Swedish licorice and it's amazing, and I hate black licorice. Uh-huh. I hate it with a passion.
I ran to the store immediately after learning this and found that I still really love Hershey chocolate bars.
It's delicious, yeah.
And I haven't bought one in maybe 25 years.
Huh. So one thing, it's just a can. It's just chocolate as opposed to most candy bars now are a mixture of a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, and that was also featured in the show, the Mars guys. They're the ones who really invented the candy bar versus the chocolate bar.
I went to St. Louis back in the day when I was stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base, Missouri. And I went to the Hershey factory in St. Louis. It was great. It was I got to have all the chocolate I wanted all day.
Right.
And I was just munching on it through the whole tour at the factory. It was great. It was probably aside from some of the beer tours I've been non-beer tours, that was probably the best tour I've ever been on in my whole life.
Well, because the difference
so far.
Right, the difference between a chocolate bar and a candy bar is the level of what's not chocolate.
Because
you can have a Hershey's bar with almonds and it's still a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Same thing with a lot of the chocolate bars that have sea salt or caramel in them. They're still chocolate bars, but if they're shaped A, differently, but B, if the complexity is more nougat, caramel, peanuts,
nougat,
or anything other than chocolate, and if it's just a thing with a coating like Twix, it's really just a coating of chocolate. That's a candy bar.
Ah, okay.
Speaking of delicious things, let's talk about the beers we have on the table.
Oh my God, yeah.
Here at Culmination, they make fabulous beers, and they make them not for them just themselves, but for you. And we hope you come down and drink them. But while we're here now, we're going to be drinking them. And let's start with you, D. What you got?
Oh, dang! I just blanked out. Let me go run and look at the menu real quick.
Okay,
it's a new sour, and I have a little bit of information about
it. Did you say that was the Strange Loop?
The Strange Loop. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
That's an old project that Conrad, our former director of ops, had put together,
and my former roommate
some years ago.
Yeah,
that's a good guy right there.
So it's definitely had some time to mellow.
Yeah.
In the kegs.
It's fine.
It's a mixed culture beer. I believe it has some cucumber in it.
It does. Yeah, I read that on the menu.
You like it?
The cucumber is more of a background flavor.
Do you like it?
I do like it, actually.
No.
It's a fine beer. It holds up, despite its storage. And it's got a nice little bouquet on it. It's definitely, you know, in the sour. It's an obvious sour.
Oh, well, yeah. I can tell from across the room the hue on that.
You can smell it across the room?
The hue on that.
Oh, the hue. Yeah. Yes.
Hue. Yeah, well, hue.
On those mixed culture beers, the storage is a good thing often.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives time for
development,
those flavors to
mature. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What flavor of LaCroix are you drinking there, Tom?
It is lemon.
Okay. Thank you for that. And John, Tom's not drinking today. That's okay.
Now, yeah, we here on the Brew Happy Show fully support people going dry. And for those of you who do not drink alcohol.
You're stupid. No, I'm just kidding.
No. That just means more for us.
Yeah. Oh, and that. Thank you.
Yeah. And there are plenty of brews out there that don't require alcohol.
Kombucha.
Kombucha actually has a little percentage of alcohol.
But I'm sure Tom drinks that over beer.
We're actually going to start piloting some non-alcoholic
Are you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
We've been playing around with
like non-alcoholic seltzers or spritzers and things like that.
We've been playing around with some hop-based seltzers and we want to debut a line of like, you know, I hesitate to say seltzer IPA because the term IPA has been abused so badly in the last several years.
Milkshake IPA.
But you know, we've got some really nice pilots that we've developed that have like these really beautiful soluble hop oils in them.
That's awesome. Well, because here's the thing is like, when we talk about hops and in beer, especially if you have a single hop beer, whether it be fresh or not, it you know, it's like, great. This is really fun to feel the flavors of a fresh hop beer when it's a single hop. But to have something like that where you kind of get more, okay, this one's really piney, or this one's really got that mango grapefruit, or that sounds really fun, just to be able to have something that kind of just herbally is kind of like a tea, but more not like a tea.
Yeah, they've been fleshing out you know, some different flavor profiles with Darren, and I've been able to partake in a couple of those tastings, and they're
good.
Touching on some pretty good stuff going on.
Okay, well,
there,
we're going to have to touch on that later in our mouths when we get around to it.
It'll happen.
I can't wait. John, what are you sipping on there? That's a big glass for you.
There's, it's, I don't know. It's the new IPA, number 6. Tomas, what's that?
Is that the,
hold on, let me look.
Number 6.
Is that the Yavin 4?
Yavin?
Yavin.
Yes, yes.
That's
the same thing.
No, it's not. You have a hazy.
Strata and cashmere.
Yeah, there we go.
Is that the familiar spirit?
No, 6.
No, it's not 6, because that's what I have.
Oh.
You have number 4.
Four.
You have Yavin 4.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's a good Star Wars reference.
They put Yavin 4 on
number 4.
Tap
number
4.
Four.
That makes sense.
That's a good Star Wars reference. Tell me what that one is. What's that about?
That's a nice West Coast IPA. Very nice. Lots of hops.
It's good color.
Balance. Yes, it is. Look at that. It's a beautiful.
Strata is definitely one of my favorite hops. And
it's a good hop.
We don't use it a lot here, but when we do, we really enjoy it.
You like the Vic's Secret here.
Yeah, you guys were the ones that started the Vic's Secret IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, a few years ago.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a throwback. But yeah, that's been a very popular hop I've noticed on the menu over the years. You guys must get that in bulk.
They have a subscription service for that particular one.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, do you want to renew your subscription for Vic's Secret?
Hell yes!
Checking all the boxes.
I am drinking the Light Refraction, which is actually number 6 here on the tap list.
I see.
There we go.
And this is a nice New England-style IPA. It is hazy as well, and it is actually delicious, and it's got some good hop notes. It's got a mouthfeel that is absolutely delicious, and it's super smooth.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Not good for your abs.
They're all making me jealous now. I'm just drinking water tonight.
That's good.
No.
You live in a beer brewery, though, so.
You just keep on hanging strong.
By beer.
We're just doing 1 month.
Yeah,
month off.
That's okay. We'll just have to, you know.
Keep tempting me. What is this whiskey you brought here, John?
Yeah.
You don't get any.
So this one is a whiskey made by Clynish Distillery, which is north of Inverness in Scotland. And what their unique tasting profile is they're waxy.
What? How's that good?
I thought the same thing.
Okay.
Until you get used to it.
Is this something you've brought me before?
Yeah, last week we had a waxy one.
Oh, well, yeah. I liked the stuff you brought last
week.
Yeah,
that was really good.
So.
Because it leaves sort of like a dry taste in your mouth. Uh-huh. It sort of tastes bizu waxy and stuff. It's amazing. Oh. And I've been just getting like bunches of bottles of this stuff over the last couple of weeks, the different ones from this one distillery.
Okay.
And I know it looks like Clynish. I know it's not how to pronounce it. You never pronounce anything in Scotland like it looks.
Clannish. I finished another little bottle of sherry.
I ordered you some more sherry.
Okay.
And an
don't give it to me yet. I'm not ready.
Okay. And an Armagnac.
Oh.
It's your own bottle of Armagnac.
Well, what is going on? Why am I not in the club here?
Because.
I like sherry and I like Armagnac. Ryan, you don't even like those things.
Okay. You have a person at your house.
Oh, right.
That might guzzle the whole thing once he saw it. He'd go like. And he'd just run over and guzzle it. And then he would say like. Sorry.
Well, Bob's been doing really. My roommate. Sorry, I didn't mean to mention his name, but my roommate has been doing really well.
That's
with
good.
I don't want to tempt him with his treatment,
so I don't bring you anything.
That's good.
That's good.
Okay.
Yes, I'm trying to help the world.
No, that's a good point.
Plus, before John was headstrong into bringing the spirits on the show, John and I were already headstrong into talking and drinking about spirits before the show.
Yeah,
we're just forcing it on you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. You're not forcing anything.
I mean, a little bit, but it's okay.
Anything else in that blue cooler bag you brought, John?
Oh, no, I got a lot of stuff.
We're going to talk about that later.
Okay.
We'll talk about it later. We're going to take a quick break. Though. I'm going to take a quick break.
There's surprises.
I'm going to take a quick break.
Okay.
I'm going to take a quick break.
All right. So we're going to do some Fitz hits. We got Fitz magic coming for you right here on the Brew Happy Show. You can get a hold of any of these Fitz hits on the Brew Happy Tunes list on
Spotify.
Yeah.
It's called Brew Happy Tunes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah, we'll be right back with a one-on-one with Tomas Slider from Culmination Brewing, talking about some new stuff coming up.
There
you
Exciting
go. News. And it makes me shine that I make a do the right way. And it gives me hope. I can make you do that my way.
This is Casey Helwig with Imperial Yeast. And you're listening to the Brew Happy Show.
Oh, yeah, boy. Macho Man sees a storm coming. That's right, brother. No hiding from the thunder, because Stormbreaker Brewing will shelter you from the elements with covered seating inside and out. Elements are mean. Elements make you cold and wet when you shouldn't be. That's right, brother. The only thing I want cold is a nice, refreshing glass of delicious craft beer from Stormbreaker Brewing in the Mississippi District of North Portland on the corner of Beach and Mississippi. It's family-friendly. They got a fire pit, good food, and even better beer, brother. You can even bring your dog, but you better curb your animal or you're going to get body slammed by Macho Man and the Hulkster. Go to Stormbreaker, brother, the best beer in town.
Hi, everybody. This is your friendly neighborhood green goddess botanic, Bronwyn. Social distancing can be a challenge, but with my new green features in your business, it will not only be easy, but it will make your business beautiful. In-house care available for locals, as well as consultations for those of you far away. Contact Green Goddess Botanic for more information on how to social distance and make your business green and beautiful.
Oh, Hi, I'm Tom.
I'm Sean.
From Von Eber Brewing.
And you're listening to The Brew Happy Show.
John, I need more beer.
Some people live just for the fame. Some people live for the power. Some people live just to play the game. Some people think that the physical things define what's within. I've been there before, and that life's a bore so full of the superficial. Some people want it all, but I don't want it.
Oh, we do want it all, and it's a beer. We want it all. And we want to thank you, all of you, who listen to the Brew Happy Show. The Brew Happy Show. Been drinking too much beer, apparently. Not. It's never a thing. But we want to thank you guys for listening to the show, and you guys can find us all over where podcasts are found. You can find us all over social media as well, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We also have a YouTube channel that you guys can see our adventures around the Brewniverse. And if you guys want to support the show, we are always welcoming to your money and charity. $5, go to patreon.com/brewhappy, and you can help support the Brew Happy Show. We do appreciate it, and with that $5, you get some swag, get some fun things, whether it be beer, calendar, a shirt, hat, koozie, who knows.
But Oh yeah. And, you know, I just realized we really need to change that soundbite from Von Ebert.
Yeah.
Because Sean,
yeah.
Tom obviously, their Tom, obviously still owns
Tom
that
Cook,
brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Cook. But Sean Burke has actually moved on to Forlan Beer,
yep.
His own brewery,
yep.
Out in McMinnville.
Yep.
And they have, and Von Ebert has promoted Sam Pecoraro,
yeah.
To head brewer. And
that's at the Glendevere, right?
I believe so. And if for those who have,
well, we need Madeline McCarthy to be on the that bumper then.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We could throw her on there. Yeah. And for those listeners that have been faithfully following the show for many years,
eons.
And those of you out there, I really really appreciate you. Let's do a prose to them.
Eons of following.
You might remember a moment in season 2 or maybe 3, I think, where we actually were doing the podcast during Sam Pecoraro's going away party from Beer Mongers, because he used to be,
yep,
a tap puller there.
Yeah.
A bartender. Sorry, I'm a bartender. I know what that word is.
I pull my tap every night, too.
Don't okay. Wow, that was very personal.
I have a kegerator in my house.
But yeah, so, you know, it's very interesting, this show. You know, we really do touch a lot on the circular community of the brewing industry out here in
Portland.
It's
a come-around, go-around kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you wind up, if you pay attention, you wind up hearing a lot about people and their lives, and it's always very interesting.
Well, and I reference immediately right back to Maddie, who was at Sasquatch, went to Migration, now at Von Ebert.
Love, I mean, there's a lot of love
for all those breweries.
There's
so
a lot of people whose careers we, yeah, avidly follow, because they are wonderful people, and they grow into wonderful brewers.
Then you get like people like Jen and Jeremy, who just brew out of their garage.
Yeah,
come on,
they're just like, jeez, super awesome beer fans, and they're just like, we're gonna have a bar in our garage, yeah, and a brewery. Yeah. We're gonna have a brew pub in our garage, and we're just gonna keep it to ourselves.
The problem
and
with,
invite our friends.
Right. The problem with us going over there ever is that we almost never want to leave.
Right. Yeah.
And Jeremy's like, John, what do you got? And John's like, well, I don't know. What do you got? And they start comparing scotches and whiskeys, and it's like,
man,
oh, you should try this mead from the 1400s. I picked it up out of a cellar of a dead guy.
Always a good time on the Brew Happy Show.
Yeah. Well, as good of a time as it is, it's always just as fun to sit back and talk to Tom here of Culmination. And we've been able and lucky to talk to him over the last 12 months with all of the fun things that he's been going on with.
Yeah.
Whether it be the the Craft Brew Consortium, whether it be Culmination, whether it be his trips to Montana. He is all over the place, and he is renowned for his advice and his beer knowledge.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Mr. Tomas Slider.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see you, man. You look good.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
You look good as well.
Oh,
Ryan was is a big fan of your hat, obviously.
A shipple? A shipple?
He's the only one that knows what that hat is called.
It's very breathable. It's mesh.
Yeah, it's a nice hat.
It's my summer hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Noticed.
So let us know what's going on in the world of Culmination Brewing. I know that you and I have been working on some stuff here that I'm pretty excited about. We've got the kitchen running, and so that's soon to come. And then we have this side room that we're sitting in right now that's going to be open to the public as early as next week. There's those two things that I wanted to kind of talk about, as well as some a little bit of changing of the guard that's been going on in the on the brew deck, and fantastic, wonderful beers that are going to be available on draft very soon.
Yeah, we got to talk about some of those stouts that you have up there right now.
Oh.
Some of the collaborative flavors up there are kind of mind-blowing. I'm what's happening with this the cinnamon and
I'm gonna go grab one of those right now.
Do that and let Tom talk, and you already know everything he's gonna say, so it's not gonna be new to you. So go grab your beer and let's hear some new things from Tom.
Let's hear it.
Well, thanks. We're very excited about the can line coming in. It's slated to arrive in just a few weeks now. I think, as you know, we did a bond call to be funded for the can line.
Yeah.
And that's a big change for us. It's a big shift in, you know, the way that we are represented in the marketplace, because we were almost entirely draft wholesale. Aside from what we sold here, most of our revenue came from kegs around town.
Prior to COVID.
Yeah, and then we did some limited amounts of canning through mobile canning. But, you know, obviously the pandemic forced us to change our business model.
Yeah.
And we started putting everything in the cans like everyone. And because we already have like a little bit of a smaller of scale with our deck that gives us SKU diversity, paying mobile canning, we weren't able to bring any margin in. So, you know, the only choice is to buy our own can line.
Aren't cheap, but will cost effectively, it will save you money in the next 12 months.
Yeah, yeah, right. And, you know, the debt service on the can line will be cash flow neutral, because we're not having to pay craft canning anymore. But I think more importantly, it really gives us the versatility to be able to do these smaller runs of boutique beers, because the direct-to-consumer market is really taking off these days.
Absolutely.
Through Tavor.
Yeah.
So we can make these like limited runs of the double dry hopped, the mega hazies.
So good.
And once we have our own can line, that gives us the ability to do that more feasibly.
Well, I was gonna say, and the nice thing about that too is for sure is like obviously, you know, keep pumping out the Phaedrus and your other, you know, staples here at Culmination.
Yeah.
But if you want, you're gonna do a 10-barrel of a beer. Kind of throw it into cans, and when it's gone, it's gone. And that's kind of the fun thing of having a limited run. You know, obviously, you could have it on draft as well somewhere, whether it be in-house or not. But you know, here's the cans, and if you want it, it's a pre-sale or whatever, you know.
You know, that is a good point you make. The other change that we decided to do is really kind of focus on our core beers, like the Phaedrus,
and
the Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are the beers we really do volume on.
You're doing a raspberry lime with a sour flower?
I think we just needed to focus, because we had like so many beers coming out. It was great to experiment, but it was like all these different beers all the time. And they weren't necessarily like targeted.
Right.
So even though we can still be very like SKU flexible with this deck, and we do want to be diverse, and the can line will give us the ability to enter new markets more easily.
Right.
We wanted to refocus our attention on the core beers,
right,
and start to regrow the market here in our own backyard as well.
Well, I think it's kind of one of those things that kind of it tells a tale of a brewery, you know, depending on who you are, how big you are, where you are in your market. But if I go to the grocery store, and as a good example, Fort George, most people love Fort George. Their beers are really great, but they have a few that are just always on the shelf. So Vortex is always on the shelf, but there's a seasonal or a quarterly beer that's going to also be on the shelf. So it gives you the opportunity to go, I can try the thing that I know and love, or I can try the new thing. And I think for you guys, I think that's kind of the same thing. Yeah. With your guys' tap list, that's always going to be the thing where, like, you have a Phaedrus on, but it's the Aquavit, and it's a little bit different. It's a little bit altered, and I think
I'd like to talk about something I know and love that is a little bit
different. I know. You came back with a new glass.
This Multnomah County Stout. There's two of them on the menu, and this one said rye next to it.
Yeah.
So I got this one. 12%, Tom. What's going on with this beer?
That one was aged in the rye barrel.
Oh, so good. Yeah,
that one turned out well.
Very smooth.
Is it smooth?
It's smooth. Smooth.
Speaking of Fort George, we just hired an employee from Fort George.
Did you?
Christy Richards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're super stoked to have her on board.
Hey, let's do a prost to her.
Prost to her.
Prost to Christy. Christy Richards, new brewer at Culmination.
Now, we talked about it.
Welcome.
You mentioned it earlier. Your brew deck has changed a little bit, especially over the last 12 months. Who and how are things looking back there, and who's leading the ship?
Well, we brought in Bryson, who was my first hire in mountains walking in Montana, actually.
Mm.
And we, as part of like kind of tightening things up here, we really needed to, we've always made really great liquid, but we needed to tighten up our inventory management, just the management structures.
Cut down waste cost, things like that.
Figuring out our cost of goods.
Right.
Monthly reconciliations. So we needed to get an ERP, which is basically what every brewery, once they're growing into a certain amount of barrels.
What is an ERP?
Enterprise Resource Program.
I see. Thank you.
And so everything.
It's a big calculator.
Everything you do in the brewery has to be reflected in the ERP.
Right.
And we're using ECOS, which is an industry standard. So Bryson, like I implemented ECOS with him and Mountains Walking. He knows it through and through. So he came here and now it's like driving down the highway. Running a business is like driving down a highway. And the bigger you are, the faster you go. At some point, you got to turn your lights on. So that's kind of what an ERP does.
Yeah.
It allows
visibility.
Allows us to project things better, plan better. having Bryson there and we just hired Christy and we're interviewing another brewer for her third interview this Friday, actually.
Awesome. Well, we'll hear more of that in the future.
This is actually a podcast won't be released for like about a week or so. So this will
be old.
Yeah.
This will be old, but that's okay. Well, and I think that's...
But it's really interesting to hear about the process.
Well, I think the thing about that is, and going back to how you kind of started this conversation of talking about kind of, you know, we have talked to you over the last 12 months, and then I remember sitting on my computer in Zoom as you guys sat at the bar where there was no one in here, and it was just you guys trying to talk about, you know, the things and the changes and you didn't really have a choice. You kind of were forced to change if you wanted to stay open. And
it was a big reset for a lot of people mentally, not just as businesses, but as human beings. And
as a community of just people, right?
Yeah, and it forced people to think about their lives and, you know, do they want to be in Portland? Mm-hmm. What do they want to do with their careers? So, you know, I really appreciate the time that some of these guys who are leaving that we had with. And, you know, we gave them their foray into brewing at Culmination.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy for them that they get to, further their careers.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out, Tom, that over the years you've given a lot of brewers their first dip of their toes in the water on the brew deck, you know. There's been a lot of people that had never really brewed before they came here to Culmination.
Well, you know, going way back, I hired Sean and Devin.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's 5 years ago. Yeah.
And then they were both assistants of mine at Old Market Pub.
And now they're Ruse Brewing.
Yeah, and that's great. I'm super stoked for these guys. They're doing great stuff.
Yeah, and Conrad, cheers to my old roommate. He went off to do production stuff over at Modern Times
Yeah.
here in town.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's, so that's a fun thing as well. Like you're saying, it's just over the last year of changes with, whether it be employees, whether it be business model or structure.
I was managing a Starbucks before that.
So, you know, it's sad to see some of your friends and some of your colleagues go, but I'm excited about the opportunity to have new people and give more people the opportunity to, you know, come in here and learn and be taught.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's got to, like, be a mark of pride for you, Tom, to see so much of your work and time spent with these people, you know, grow and cultivate, if you will, into, you know, new brands, new beers, and new experiences for more consumers out there in the Brewniverse.
Yeah, it really is. I've always said that, like, my best employees are employees that have aspirations outside of Culmination.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm always going to support that for any of these guys and girls.
That's fantastic.
And women.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to have those people come into your life and make great beer and then, you know, go somewhere else and make great beer. And speaking of great beer, you have a couple other brands that you guys, that you've been working on over the last 12 months that we've talked about. How are those going?
Yeah, you got some other
ventures.
Yeah, logs on the in a couple of other fires. What's going on?
Mm-hmm. Well, like we talked about on the show before, the Juliet brand out of the Craft Brewery Consortium.
We haven't talked about that in a while. Yeah.
As well as the Kex, which is brewed at, will be brewed out of that space.
Hmm.
And then there's going to be a lot of house brewers for chef's tables, individual restaurants brewed out of that space.
Oh, nice.
Wow. That's a big
group of restaurants.
Yeah,
that includes Lardo and Grasa. And
it's been a challenge because I like to rely on predictable data when I build my models for myself and clients. And it's been so tumultuous this past year, especially when, you know, an entire facility like the old Burnside isn't reliant on existing brands. It's reliant on all of the chef's tables restaurants reopening.
Right.
And then they're open, then they're closed, then they're open, then they're closed, and then it's closed for 2 weeks. And
yeah, that's been a very kind of a vacillating landscape this past year. So, like, how do you deal with that?
Well, hopefully it's stabilizing. And,
it seems to be.
What I did for Chef's Table and Kurt was I gave him the best advice on what to expect as far as, like, overhead and cost of goods and velocity once all his restaurants are reopening. So it seems to be happening right now. I think June was kind of his, like, target date for, like, a full reboot, because it didn't make a lot of sense to start, like, inventorying these beers earlier when, you know, beer is a perishable commodity.
Right, yeah.
I want to brew a lot of beer for restaurant
group. If it's just going to sit around, some beers,
unless it's supposed to sit around, that's fine.
Yeah,
but
they get better with
age. If
it's
an IPA, it's probably need to go out now.
Yeah, pilsners and IPAs, they don't need really to age.
I think what was going to be the biggest driver of volume out of that facility was the Juliet project, because that was married to a tap room in the airport. And that's still happening as far as I know, but
excellent.
You know, who knows when regular airport consumerism is going to be normal.
Absolutely. Well, and we, you know, we're lucky enough over the last, like I said, 12 months to be able to have some of the couple of the beers that came out of that brand. There was a hazy and then just a regular, I think, West Coast style IPA. Both were amazing. Both completely different in their complexity and their style.
Yeah, thanks. We piloted those here, actually.
Did you really? Okay, perfect.
Yeah, we just brewed those under contract just to kind of test the waters.
Yeah, and they were great, and that kind of, you know, it was a little bit different from some of the things you guys do as a Culmination brand, just because of, I think, as a brand and as a label, you want to kind of push some different boundaries and push some different flavors and complexity, and they were really good. So I'm really excited to have some more of that.
And there's some techniques we use that we started adopting here in Culmination, like things that I wanted to do once I came back into town here.
Right.
Just as far as, like, you know, making sure our pH markers are always in spec and all these different parts of the brewing process. So instead of, like, moving it on to our core beers immediately, it was nice to have a couple of beers that were more or less like offshoots.
And did you sell them in-house here?
No, we sold all those through Chef's Table.
Nice, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Right on. Yeah.
So, you know, that project really did help us like get some feedback on our system with some new techniques that we've adopted with our existing beers here at Culmination. And I think the beers now are tasting better than they have, I think, since we've been open.
Yeah, I have no complaints. I've been drinking the hell out of them, so I mean,
you almost finished that one you got 5 minutes ago.
Hey, yeah, I should probably slow down on
you
that.
You probably should.
It's, well, practice makes perfect.
There you go.
The more you can make it, the more you fine tune it, and you keep making it better all the time.
Yeah, and Culmination's been going strong for, are we going on 6 years, Tom?
Yeah, we opened in 2014.
Wow,
nice.
Yeah.
So,
let's do a prost to that.
Prost to that, indeed. That's loud.
Cheers.
Round out the conversation, Tom. You know, again, we do appreciate being in your space, and we love your beers, as always. And we talked a little bit about the side room that we're in, and we've seen the expansion of the outside. What else is coming down the train track for Culmination over the next handful of months? You know, summer's coming. Things are going to be opening up, literally, the sun out, and, you know, there's going to be some new things happening. What's going on?
Well, we're looking at a couple of spaces for a separate tap room.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're looking at West Side, and we're looking at sort of the Pearl area. That seems to be the new growth model, because with wholesale not only struggling from, you know, the COVID,
right,
but also just seeing like this saturation of brands and SKUs, it's harder to maintain a consistent growth trajectory by going through a distributor. So that's why you see a lot of these breweries kind of in our ilk, like opening up the external tap rooms.
Right. Which is, for you guys to have a second location with your, that under that brand and that flag, that kind of is a fun thing, because you're playing now to a different neighborhood, a different community of people who, I mean, obviously Damien loves you guys because he used to live just down the block, but I mean, it did help. You didn't have to worry about driving home because you could walk when you were tanked. But the thing about that is, too, is like you have a whole new... It happens to all of us.
I never get tanked. Yeah, what are you talking about?
But it happens that especially in that Pearl, that particular part of Portland, there's just a different culture. There's a different vibe. And to be able to have your guys' stuff be there and have a potential for a new clientele, a new base, and a new... personages to go, oh, well, you know, we don't like the sours as much here. We like the, you know, the lagers here, or whatever that might be, to be able to have a different curtailing of what you're going to brew. And I think that's kind of a fun thing as well.
Yeah, we have noticed different neighborhoods kind of like
gravitate towards.
They gravitate towards, you know, a preference towards different
wheat
styles
or
this or that, you know, like
heavy reds. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, you know, the Northwest IPA end of town.
Mm-hmm.
those guys over in the Southeast.
Yeah,
they
they'll drink
really
anything.
Spot because everybody over there loves IPAs. Yeah. And, you know, that can be said for a lot of Portland.
And we're getting very close to opening Culmination in Takamatsu, Japan.
Oh, yeah.
What?
International.
The blueprint sitting around here somewhere.
Right over there.
Someone call Matt Harhai.
I have a Zoom meeting later to review those with my Japan colleague.
Yeah, Matt Harhai, one of our international...
Is he in China?
No.
He's in Japan?
He's in Maryland.
Oh, that's right. He came over back to the home of the States.
Yeah, we had an interview with him a couple of weeks ago.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's all right.
I listened to
it. There's been a lot going on.
I know, it's busy. And then this side room, is this just going to be an event space? Is it going to be secondary seating?
No, yeah, we're opening it up for full seating.
That's awesome.
Next week.
Yeah. I'm working with Morgan, the taproom manager.
Damien, get to work. Clear this out.
What her layout is going to be, how many four tops and, you know, what tops she wants. You know, in the floor plan, we're going to have three TVs in these outlets that I installed up here. We got these two fans up here.
You got a beautiful mural here. We want to be able to have it be seen.
You
know,
roll top door.
Importantly, in this day and age, we have a roll up door and a couple of big fans, so it's going to be constant air movement.
Open air seating.
Hey, can I ask you a question real quick?
Me?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm asking you.
Okay.
Because you're in charge of this.
I am.
Make sure these lights get fixed because they flicker all the hell of the time.
Oh, they are. Yeah. So the track lighting, I'm gonna check all the bulbs while I'm up there because we're gonna actually be hanging a lot of Japanese lanterns.
Oh.
And making this a more festive activity space.
Fun.
Yeah. It'll be nice. You guys are really gonna dig it. I'm gonna put some ambiance in this room.
Well, it won't be next week, but maybe the week after we'll be back here in the space and we'll be able to kind of enjoy the new loveliness. But we'll find out because we might have patrons in here. We might not be able to come in.
I'm not sure where we're doing the show next week exactly. It might be here or it might be at the studio. But we are going to be meeting with Colin Leishman and doing Leish. Some cider talk.
The Leish.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, you're going to do a whole lot less talking on that show. I do the talking on that show.
Well, I know you're into cider.
I am the cider savant.
I figured you would enjoy that. So.
I am going to enjoy that. And Colin's a good friend. We've been in and out of the industry together, not just through Brew Happy for the last 3 or 4 years. So it'll be nice to catch up him and his kiddos and talk to him about some cider. So you guys check out next week's episode for that. Cider talk with pretty much just me and Colin.
Yeah.
And John will talk too. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. Are we going to go on another break?
We're going to go on a break. Before we do, I just wanted to ask Tom, because I know he knows and I know he loves to talk about new beers that are coming down the line. What can we expect to put in our mouths here in the coming month?
Yes, because there are some barrels in this room right now.
I don't want to talk about that, so we're
going to need to move them around a little bit, but that does remind me of, are there going to be any barrel-aged beers? You know I'm going to want to know about that.
Is there some kettle sours happening? What's going on?
Okay, what's in that fooder in the back?
We've got a very special version of the sour flour that we...
Ooh.
We made a rather tart, and we're going to be serving it up front with a choice of Woodruff or raspberry syrup.
Yes, please.
Flower power sour.
Yeah. So, you know, by itself, we typically try to balance it in
the Sour Puff Girls. That's what it's going to be called.
By itself, it's going to be almost like, you know, melt your enamel sour.
That I'm actually very excited to try.
But then when we add the... when you add the Woodruff or the raspberry, you'd be surprised like how quickly those flavors balance.
Really?
I'm excited. Now, we've done this before. We've had beers that were made in a certain way, and then you added a syrup to them to create a particular essence or flavor.
Kind of like a Berliner Weiss, but in a different order.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
Very, very much. Like
that's going to be fun.
That's what inspired it.
Nice.
So when is that, a month from now?
Less than a month.
Yeah. Awesome. Sure. Okay, we'll be here for that.
Oh,
give me two glasses, and we'll try both side to side, and we'll have a comparison taste test.
Tom, I as much as I hang out with you, I don't get to hear about this stuff as much.
Usually because you're working, and we don't have time to talk about beer. Get to work.
We bullshit a lot.
That's
so,
true.
I mean, we do talk about comic books and stuff, but
that sounds great, Tom.
I love shop talk. This is great. I'm excited. I didn't know a lot of this stuff already, so.
And you're here like all the time.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, but I'm glad we got you centered and able to, pick your brain about some things that are going to be coming up.
Also, it's going to be a hot summer, so we're going to do the beer slushy machine in the tap room.
What? Beer slushy machine?
Yeah.
What's going in it?
Wait, did I know about this? It sounds familiar.
You're not the only one, but that's okay.
We're going to mix it up regularly.
Nice.
So we considered doing a... So it's a thing in Japan. If you walk through Tokyo, you get beer slushies in the summer. But that's more like just a frosted... not really frosted. It's like actual
beer.
It's
like a shaved ice beer kind of a thing.
But they put it on top.
Right.
They pour you a normal beer, and then they put it on top.
Right.
So it's like
but yours is going to be a little more...
Yeah, we were thinking of doing like the full slushy treatment and mixing up the flavors.
I'm not kidding. It sounds weird, but you gotta do like a strawberry lime Kolsch.
All right.
What?
Yeah. Strawberry strawberry lime Kolsch?
I mean they got a strawberry lime sour flour right now.
No, that's raspberry.
That's raspberry, sorry.
Strawberry though.
Yeah.
Strawberry lime.
Okay,
you could do lemon, but I think lime would be better.
Strawberry's a little more watery flavor.
Slushy machine's
I know, they've been going all week. It's been hot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
If you guys live in Vancouver, go over to Fortside, get yourself some slush.
You damn Vancouverians.
We're fucking on top of it. You
know,
guys
the
are
other
slow.
Thing is they're way all less right. scared over there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All and right. The nice thing about we put in this tent, obviously because of the pandemic, but summertime comes around and you're not going to get roasted on the
no
patio.
No yeah. way. No yeah. way. Not
unless you're on the curb over here. And those yeah.
It's going to be better for the shade. It's going to be more used for shade than yeah. it is for winter. In
yeah.
the winter, we
I got
more
ahead,
customers,
yeah.
so
yeah.
appreciate yeah, the shade.
We got ahead of that last summer.
Yeah.
on it.
Yeah,
on it.
On it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to make sure our glasses look good, and we're going to talk about some of the brew news happening around the world. And we're in your backyard and finish up the show. Thank you again, Tom, and Culmination Brewing.
And
cheers
thank you,
to
listeners.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Jeff,
my
definitely.
Pleasure, as
yeah.
always.
We're going to check out what John's got in his stash.
Oh, he's got some good stuff.
Oh, the uncorking begins.
This is Warren Wills of CraftBeerScribe.com, and you're listening to The Brew Happy Show.
I'm John Paul from Paul Cigars. Everyone knows I think craft beer is awesome, but so is my huge selection of cigars. You can get all your favorite tobacco products at any one of my conveniently placed locations in Beaverton, East Vancouver, and my headquarters store on Jansen Beach. Our wide selection of helpful staff will make your visit so very satisfying. You might even want to have a beer to celebrate. So come on in and check us out. For more information, contact us at paulcigars.net.
This is Jason Rizos with Funhouse Brews, and you are listening to the Brew Happy Podcast.
John, I need more beer. When I get home, you better not be there with placing bets. You won't share your modesty. And the only thing to leave behind is your own skin on the floor. Don't you shy away.
All right. Well, that was a great interview, Ryan. Thank you to Tomas and Ryan and everybody here at Culmination Brewing. You are wonderful people making fantastic beers, and I really appreciate the use of the space.
Yeah. Well, and Tom is so forthcoming with, you know, even the simplest things about talking about getting the canning line and what that does to production and
yeah.
business side. You know, he's very open about most of the things he's got going on in the pockets, and it makes it easy to have a respect and appreciation for how he creates a beer atmosphere with Culmination.
I mean, the guy has spent almost, you know, close to two decades of thinking
like 17
about
years,
the
I think.
Best, the best way to make this stuff happen in various different models. Yeah. And you know, access to different resources. So you know, he's a really great person to talk to when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I definitely appreciate his time, and you know, he's such a busy guy. Another person I appreciate in the industry is it's John.
Open my beer.
Because he's always...
Well, that's dark. That's a lot darker than I thought it was going to be. Holy shit.
So John is always out there in the Bruniverse doing product research, as we call it in the industry. And today he's brought us something special from Rosenstock. And this is what I would refer to as a John Foyston special.
This is an alt beer.
Because it is an alt beer, yes. Yeah. For those of you that listeners that have been listening to this show for a long time, you know John Foyston as the beer writer for the Oregonian out here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, he's just a really big fan of alt beers and motorcycle maintenance. I don't know the man personally far beyond that. So I can't say much, but...
That's true.
He is one of my favorite people in the industry.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. Yeah, so...
I'm going to have to drink this...
So first, let's talk about the alt beer, and then we'll talk about that whiskey.
Okay.
So the alt beer, what I like about this, is more like a traditional German alt.
Oh, it smells very malty.
Right, well, it's not hoppy, because America, they make alt beers, and they always throw hops in.
Do you need another, glass? Just drink from the bottle.
No, just finish your glass... No, this.
I gotta finish the whiskey.
No,
finish the stout
or the Multnomah County stout.
Chug that down.
Okay,
I'm gonna take a drink of the alt beer while we talk. Go.
Here we go. And
no hops. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a low hop beer, or like a traditional German alt, like Rosenstock always works really hard.
That's super malty.
And alt comes from Dusseldorf.
That's good.
That they know for that.
Well, they get all of their... They import all their ingredients from Germany.
All their wheat.
Barley and their yeasties. And then he changes the water to be like Dusseldorf's water. So, good thing there's not carpet there.
Anyway, go ahead and try that, Damien. This is really good. It's very smooth. It's got a great back flavor.
Yeah, it's not real strong. I love alt beers.
No, it's really
super
mild.
Super crushable.
I was going to say, it's got to be probably 5.5%.
Crushable.
6%? What is it?
Crushing. It's
Hold on.
It's
5.3. I'm going to try this whiskey first.
Try the whiskey first.
You're insane. You should try the alt beer first.
You poured it first.
No, I know, but you should try the alt beer first.
Then I'll do the alt beer first.
Yeah, because it's not strong.
You're gonna ruin the alt beer if you try the whiskey
tasting,
first.
Tasting, nice.
Beer, so the alt beer, the bouquet on it.
You can smell the two row. You can smell the wheat. You can smell it.
You know what I smell? I smell Old Town Dusseldorf, the cobblestone streets.
I smell an old woman's feet.
There we go.
Why are you smelling an old woman's feet? I can't even see her. She's not even in this room.
That's a good beer, though.
He's got a foot fetish.
No, I don't. That's
gross.
Feet are gross. That's a good beer.
How old do you consider old?
That's a good beer.
Old?
75.
There we go. So, like, the 65s beer, watch out. Ryan's on the prowl for them.
Oh, my God.
So, what do you think of that beer?
This is
good.
Great.
It's really good beer.
Yeah, super crushable.
No, I wouldn't say it's crushable, but it's easy drinking.
Easy drinking.
I would say it's crushable.
I wouldn't be drinking one after the other. I'd be taking my time.
Why not? I would shotgun this bottle if I could.
I wouldn't shotgun it.
You can't
shotgun
a bottle.
I could drink this
in a beer bong.
Rapidly. Now here's what I will tell you.
It would go down fast for me.
Get it a little bit cooler.
Ah.
Get it a little bit cooler,
uh-huh.
And then what you do is you sit on your back patio on an 80-degree Sunday.
Yeah.
And you pair yourself up a nice, easy, mild, kind of maybe a honey, but maybe not a honey, just a mild, Maduro cigar from Paul Cigars, and you just sip this and you smoke a nice light cigar.
I agree, a nice light Maduro.
That would be the essential of evening.
Roasted beer.
Right, yeah.
Are you guys detecting like a little bit of a bite towards the end?
Hold on. It's not bite to me. You know what it is? It's too much carbonation, believe it or not, still.
Really?
Yes, because the alt beers, when I have them in Germany, they're
a little flatter.
A lot flatter. They don't have as much, but they use
so
much.
Germany.
What I'm saying. If you take your time with this one, by the time you get to that last couple of sips, you really get that full.
Right, flavor. You get the little the CO2 out. They put CO2 there, preserve it.
Yeah, but you're agitating your beer as
to
you
get
go.
The freaking CO2
That's
out.
That's like a thing you do regularly. Yeah,
he does that with all his beers though.
Yeah,
hey, look at that. I'm pretty good at it. Left-handed too, and I'm right-handed.
All his beers are agitated.
Amsterdamstrous. Yep. Oh God.
Yeah, he's spilling it out.
I'm left-handed, and
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm always
you almost fucked that up.
By consequence, but.
All right.
That was really good. Now I agitated the hell out of
it. This is great beer. I really like this beer. This is great beer. It's
got it at Beer Mongers.
Beer Mongers.
And it's in a bottle. How many people are doing bottles anymore? Not an Imperial Stout.
It is.
Think about it. No one does bottles.
More of a canning thing these days.
More of a canning thing?
Yeah.
And look, this is actually the old European style.
It's a good-looking bottle.
Well, that's a German-style bottle. That's an American-style bottle.
I'm pretty sure their packaging is intentional.
Yes, they do.
I mean, a brewery wouldn't import their ingredients all the way from Germany if...
They weren't fanatic.
They weren't fanatical about bringing a European experience to their consumers.
Let's try some of the liquors, and then we're going to get the heck out of here.
Here we go.
This is the eucalyptus one.
Eucalyptus is so weird.
Read the bottle.
Oh, are we talking liquor now?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is eucalyptus, menthol, sweets, and mothballs.
Boy.
Does that sound pleasant at all?
Sounds great.
No.
No, it doesn't sound pleasant. And then we are walking.
They abolish in wood varnish.
Yeah, then we're walking on an old railwood sleeper. Old railway. There we go.
Okay.
Sleepers laid over, shade throughout, a eucalyptus forest. It's from Loch Lomond, one of the Loch Lomond distilleries up there. It's only 6 years old. It's a second fill bourbon barrel.
Loch Lomond!
And I
can breathe fire now.
There you go. Uh-huh. But it's so weird with the eucalyptus, and that's why you have to get it young to six, because that eucalyptus would fade fast over age.
Loch one, Loch two, Loch three,
Loch
Lomond.
You know what Loch means?
Lake.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lomond Lake.
Yeah. That's why they call it the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
I don't feel my insides burning.
And they call her Nessie because she's Nessie of the lake.
I thought she was just messy.
No.
Nessie is messy.
Nessie with a...
I don't feel my lungs on burning.
But it's so weird, and if you... It does sort of taste a little menthol-y. How the hell did they get that?
Definitely on the end.
Barrel?
Yeah,
so weird. It's the name of it is called Railway Track to a Log Cabin, which I had to get because I got a log
that's
cabin.
That's a long name.
I got a log cabin.
Okay, so I
don't... It's not a railroad track,
back
though.
In? A little bit of peat?
Yeah.
No! No freaking peat, dude.
Ryan thought so.
It's not peat.
No peat.
It's not peat. It's
not peat.
It's the eucalyptus.
You're thinking, you're substituting, you use the word peat for anything you don't know. I got peat for you.
We don't know. I'm good.
I got peat right here.
Put peat.
Pirate Pete.
Put it away.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he'll be pirate you.
That is a hell of a label there.
Isn't it?
Yeah, let me get some pictures of that.
Get pictures. That's, he's retiring.
This is good though.
He's retiring.
Yes, it's very interesting.
It's interesting. I wouldn't say it's great compared to some of the things you brought on the show, but it's good.
It's one of those things.
It's one of those things like we talked about last week, as far as a concept goes.
Right.
It's well done.
Yeah. You try it, you taste it, you go,
shit.
Oh, it does taste like you. Where did they get you eucalyptus from? A bourbon barrel? A second? How did they do that? We're not sure, but you know, you just accept it for what it is. It's very I guess it's something you drink when you got a cold because it helps. Yeah.
Hand me the other bottles so I can take some pictures.
Okay, the Kleinisch.
While you guys
the Kleinisch.
The Klein is the waxy. The waxy, the bee's waxy.
I don't, by the way, I just wanted to make sure and preface this. I have no news to talk about this week. Not that there's not news to talk about, but I just haven't prepared any. So we're not going to do it. We're enjoying the spirits. John's.
You don't have something good?
Not this week.
Okay. Well, we did talk about a lot.
So something's good in this little glass.
It's hard to fit stuff in when we know we have a guest in person because we want to talk so much to him.
And he has so much knowledge and so much information.
But we're going to eat. We're going to drink more scotch and eat more shortbread.
Yeah.
John, any other beers from your travels this last week over between Fortside, Trapdoor, Brothers Cascadia? Oh, there's a new one from Brothers Cascadia. There's a Kolsch.
I saw that. I have not had that one yet.
I have a Kolsch.
I haven't had it yet. We're going to have
a Kolsch.
We're going to get it and we'll bring it next week.
This are they going to have it on tap this Friday?
Yes,
you think?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yeah. I'm going to meet you at Brothers Cascadia.
There we go. I did have a couple Wayfinder beers this week. Okay, Wayfinder. And I had their new Pilsner called Party Time Pills.
Party Time.
And it was
P-A-R-T-Y.
Exceptional.
Because we like you.
I love that thing. And then another beer I had too, which I was really surprised, was a Retro Gold, which is an IPA for Wayfinder again. And it was just fantastic. And then probably the best beer I've had this year, besides Sherman.
And we're early in the year.
I love Sherman, though. Was this Reuben's Brews Wembley IPA. It was crazy good. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, wow.
It's a regular American IPA. Wasn't hazy at all, but it was just super exceptional.
Nice.
And also, during last week, I also had the 5th anniversary beer of Matchless, which was a 13.5% stout to celebrate their 5th anniversary by Matchless. That was a pretty good beer. It's sort of hard to go wrong with anything from Matchless. But boy, that Wembley IPA for Reuben's Brews, I was really, really...
Impressed at Reuben's.
Reuben's, man, that was...
Wow. There you go. Way to go, Reuben's.
Yeah, I like their beers, but this one, for some reason, was really stood out more so than most. Could be because it was super new. And I did have a beer that was kegged the morning of I had the beer.
Oh.
Oh, yeah?
It was kegged the morning of April 16th, Friday morning, at Ruse Brewing.
Oh.
And Mike went down in the morning and picked it up.
Oh.
And he brought it back to his final draft on Friday.
Oh.
And he was tapped it there, and so we were drinking beer that was literally kegged that morning.
Mm. Mike's pretty good at doing that shit.
And fresh New England IPAs, it doesn't get better than a fresh New England IPA.
Yeah.
That really, you can really tell the difference on a fresh one. Those things sort of... They're still good, but they fade fast.
We might need to do a Vancouver show soon.
There we go. Because it's not July.
We can do
yet.
That.
July is our anniversary.
July. Okay, July.
But I want to say one thing. Yeah. I did see one thing. I was looking through myself. Scotland's opening May 17th.
There you go.
Boom.
Oh.
John's gone.
You can start doing stuff indoors in Scotland on May 17th.
There you go. We'll see you in June.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just hoping it happens. I just want to be there by October.
There you go.
Okay. Oh.
Anything else before we say goodbye?
No, I think we covered everything.
Guys, there's a lot of beer out there. A lot of breweries are making it. All you got to do is just go out there and get you some. There are still delivery services out there, so if you get the opportunity, if you're still being very, very cautious, by all means, have it delivered to your front door. But if you can, go to the tap room, support the local businesses, drink local beer, and support local companies and businesses and breweries, and drink. There's nothing better to do than drink craft local beer, especially if you come to Culmination and tell them that the Brew Happy sent you, and they'll be like, thanks, and they'll still charge you full price. But that's okay, just let them know that we sent you, because we love them here at Culmination.
I heard you only had to buy 4 beers, and they would throw in a full keg.
If
you mentioned us.
That's not.
Okay. Okay, yeah. full pony cake?
No.
No.
If you buy 4 beers, they'll let you drink from the tap.
So upcoming.
Straight in your mouth.
Upcoming, we have we have Bull Colin Leishman from Bull Run Cider for Cider Talk. We have Away Days Brewing.
Yeah,
which is a smaller.
I saw the email. I'm excited about that.
Not well as known brand, and then we have John's Marketplace in Southeast Portland that we really need to check out because I have been hearing some awesome things about that space, and I haven't been yet. but I'm going to check it out this weekend. It is, I'm on a mission, guys.
See if we can get in there.
Yeah, you know it, baby.
Okay.
All right, listeners. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help support the show, check us out on patreon.com/brewhappy. And for as little as a dollar, you can help support the show. For as little as $5, you can get swag, including the latest t-shirt. Or whatever t-shirt you prefer upon request. If you see it in any of our social media and you want it, you can have it. We got, beer keys and all kinds of cool stuff for you guys to have. Stickers, all postcards, little love notes. What do you want Ryan to send you?
I'll send you an autographed photograph.
He'll do it. He will.
No, send him your underwear.
John will even send you cigars if you're into that.
If you send Ryan underwear, I'll send you cigars.
Wow. So, yeah, that's all you got to do.
We're going to send Ryan autographed Damien's underwear.
No, that's not how that works.
Oh, no?
Okay. I need my underwear.
Oh. It's got to be girls' underwear.
Why would
better.
You autograph my... What?
We're going to send... I'm going to autograph Damien's mom's underwear.
All right, guys. We need to talk a little more about... how we do these
etiquette,
these
Milfin
giveaways.
Oh, that's not what
all right.
I
so,
to say.
Yeah, we'll be working on that. Feel free to give your input when you sign up on Patreon.
Comments, questions, and concerns. You can email us at brewhappypdx@gmail.com.
Oh yes, send them to me or send them to Ryan at thebrewhappyshow.com.
Either side. All right, guys.
or the new website.
Yeah. Yeah.
DamiansMilfs.com.
No.
That's not a new website. What are you talking about?
He's going to buy the domain tonight.
Oh, boy.
That's good. All right.
All right, guys. Well, as always, I don't just like you. I love you, and I want to have a beer with you. Until next week, beer fans, you keep brewing, but brew happy. All right. Check out these Fitz hits on the Brew Happy Tunes playlist on Spotify. Cheers.
This production is brought to you by Knowledge Multimedia and Brew Happy Media, the ultimate brewer's media resource. For more information, go to thebrewhappyshow.com and brewhappypodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Brew Happy. For more cigar pairings, please check out our sponsor, paulcigars.net. Questions, concerns, advertising, or guest relations, please reach us at brewhappypdx@gmail.com. Remember, brew happy, drink responsibly. Cheers.